want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It's, well, what is it? It's the 9th of February, 2015. Welcome, welcome. You know, we've been doing a lot of research lately. Well, I shouldn't say myself, but my guest today, a regular guest, Patrick Jordan from vaccinefraud.com. We've been looking into this whole notion of the simian virus collection. There's also other forms of the simian particles that get passed around, and you know, let me just give you a little history. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with S340. It was certainly in my documentary on vaccines, and it's certainly kind of a well-known thing now, amazingly, that it's certainly been linked to many things, including cancer. Just to give you a little bit of the background, in 1941, doctors Francis and Mack isolated the Mahoney polio virus from the pooled feces of three healthy children in Cleveland. Dr. Salk, we're familiar with him, then subjected the strain to passages through 14 living monkeys and two cultures of monkey testicular cultures. In 1954, that strain, now called Monk 14T2, was given to doctors Lee and Schaefer, who subjected the virus to 9 more passages through monkey testicular cultures. Next, that same strain, now called Monk 14T11, underwent 15 more passages in monkey testicular cultures, 18 passages in monkey kidney cells, 2 passages through the skin of living rhesus monkeys, and additional passages through African green monkey skin and monkey kidney cell cultures. This strain was now called MS-10-T43 or LS-C. In 1956, Dr. Sabin took this virus and passaged it through 7 cultures of African green monkey kidney cells. And that same year, the pharmaceutical company Merck Sharp and Dohme passed the strain, now called LS-C2AB/KP2, through a rhesus monkey kidney cell culture. The resulting material, finally, was called Sabin Original Merck, SOM, and was provided to Ladero in 1960 as the seed material to manufacture its polio vaccine. Types 2 and 3 were created in a similar fashion. That's actually from A.B. Sabin, History of Sabin Attenuated Polio Virus Oral Live Vaccine Strain. So that's what everything went through. How many different monkey passages it went through before it finally got into all of our children's bodies, and our own, of course. SV40 was the 40th virus found in rhesus monkey kidney cells when these cells were used to make the polio vaccine. This virus contaminated both the inactivated polio vaccine created by Jonas Salk and the oral live polio vaccine created by Albert Sabin. And as we've read from congressional record before on this show, they both blamed each other for the outbreak of polio. In 1961, that's a paralytic polio. In 1961, SV40 was discovered by Dr. Bernice Eddy of the National Institute of Health. Division of Biologics when she took the material used to grow polio vaccines and injected it into hamsters. Tumors, of course, as they always do, and even in modern tests, grew in the hamsters, and her discovery was subsequently validated by Doctors Maurice Hilleman and Benjamin Sweet of Merck. Upon the discovery that SV40 was an animal carcinogen, meaning cancer-causing, that had found its way into the polio vaccines, a new federal law was passed in 1961 that required that no vaccines contained this virus. However, this law did not require that SV40-contaminated vaccines be thrown away or that the contaminated seed material used to make all polio vaccinations for the next 40 years be discarded. As a result, known SV40 contaminated, that brings us all the way into 2001, folks. Known SV40 contaminated vaccines were injected into children up to 1963. In addition, it's been alleged that there have been SV40 contaminated batches of oral polio vaccine administered to some children up until the end of the 1990s. So there you have it. That's just part of the story, though, folks. And to tell the rest of the story, welcome Patrick Jordan.
Thanks for having me on, Clint.
Absolutely. So I was reading this article you sent out a little while ago, and it's, well, let's just say it's pretty interesting. It's from the Atlantic Journal, and it was entitled "The Virus and the Vaccine" from February 2000. Simian virus known as SV40 has been associated with a number of rare human cancers, and when you start reading, you find out it's, gosh, I'm surprised how many cancers there are. And over 40 labs across the country, across the world, have done biopsies and special tests on all kinds of cancers, and they're coming up SV40 positive. That's a little concerning, if you ask me. One of the aspects of this is mesothelioma, which, you know, had this sort of religious tone among scientists that absolutely 100% it was only caused by asbestos and nothing else. Well, yeah, but you see these SV40, this SV40 virus goes in there, starts producing proteins, and apparently helps that along. So we've got massive cancers going on, of course, since vaccination. So let's get into this. Not only SV40, which was the 40th virus they found from monkeys, but how many there actually are, and God, the practically open black market that you can just, you know, go buy these things. It's pretty amazing.
One dark topic at a time, and everybody needs their antidepressants handy. So when they first started out, Clint, they identified things that they called simian agents. So the SV designation actually started SA, and they went through 1 through 18 with those. But as it is in science, and, you know, I'm using science with a big S, sometimes you make mistakes and you correct it. But, see, this was a military biological weapons project, so I'm not going to give them the latitude of saying, oh, they made a mistake. They just foobarred it, and what they ended up doing is naming things something that they later changed the name of. And my absolute favorite of all this is, on some of the samples, they lost them. And so in terms of, like, accession numbers, and this is something that the government does, and the kind of language and terminology that I'm going to be using, Clint, is for people that are interested in this, of saving their own damn lives, is to do keyword searches. An accession number means that the government has officially recognized something and entered it into their catalog. So they kind of lost some of these viruses, and they're not quite sure what they might have been because they can't find them again. And others that they simply renamed, and they renamed them in the same way that they were covering up the polio that you referred to that was caused by the vaccines. Instead of calling it polio, they called it aseptic meningitis, or they called it some kind of flaccid paralysis. As if the man and woman off the street was too stupid, which they were, to figure out that it was the same damn thing coming from the vaccine.
They just renamed
it.
Yeah, this is what they're calling that today. According to many researchers, they're saying that the modern form of poliomyelitis is chronic. When you're tired all the time, what's that called?
Chronic fatigue. Yeah,
chronic fatigue. Now, chronic fatigue over in England is called something very different, which is encephalopathy. That they're blaming the same thing. So yeah, you know, they say the modern version of polio is simply chronic fatigue syndrome, and that's pretty pretty scary when you think about it.
So one of the examples that we have from the SV series, because after they ran 1 through 18, they started going, oh boy, let's play Babylonian name change. And my alternative to that is the same pig, different lipstick. So they got out their designer colors of lipstick, and they started, you know, putting rainbow colors on this pig. By the time they went to SV5, it was renamed to parainfluenza virus type number 5. That's kennel cough, man. But you see, human parainfluenza virus number 2 is the same thing as kennel cough, parainfluenza virus number 5, and SV5. And so when you do a search, and I had my top people working on this for weeks, when you do a search, you get lost in this roundabout of you're chasing your tail because you don't know, you know, what happened to the virus, man.
Well, you call it, I like your term, your Babylonian name change. It's kind of similar to putting a bill out there and people, you know, fight it down, and then 3 years later they put the same exact bill out, just put a change in name, and everybody votes yes for it. You know, it's like it's the ridiculousness of the political situation. So what it seems like to me, because every disease I read about in humans seems to have an animal origin. You know, you have the wasting disease in sheep. I just saw that SV40 also causes, I think it was SV40. It might have been a different SV. I don't know. There's 77 of them or something like that. Causes the same cancers that appear in AIDS patients, which is that Kaposi's sarcoma, one of the signs of AIDS, is caused by an SV. So I look and, there's feline HIV. There's all these different diseases that seem to be animal-typed. Mad cow disease, now Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or prion disease in humans. Everything seems to be coming from this mixing of animal tissue, animal cancers, with the human genome, if you will.
So what they did is they got all the way up to SV59. There's some kind of gap that we haven't filled in yet. And there actually is a gap between, like, 50 and 58 that they're playing hide the virus again. But we've identified a thing called SV80. We're not quite sure if it's a cell line or if it is an actual virus, because now they're playing loose with the term. Is SV80 something that they cultivate their madness in? You know, like a cell line, like a Henrietta Lacks cervical cell, the HeLa cells, or is it a monkey kidney cell? You know, we don't know what it is, but they're all the way up to 80. And like you said, of the 77 that we could identify, when you get rid of the renames, when you get rid of the repeats, because they didn't have the quality of gene sequencing that they have now. When you get rid of the repeated ones, and when you get rid of the ones that they lost, there's only 49. Oh, listen to me, only 49. But what you're
Wait, are those the viruses or are those the particles?
The discrete simian agents and simian viruses. So we're talking a complete infectious agent. There's 49 of them that we've been able to identify. And here on RBN, Rebecca Carly had Ed Haslam on talking about Dr. Mary's Monkey. And, of course, it's almost like a joke that, you know, he's talking about SB 40. And I said, well, what about 1 through 39? And everybody kind of laughed. Well, that was like 2010. Dude, it's been bothering me ever since. What about the other 39? 39, what do you mean 39? When the smoke clears and the viruses have all landed on the floor, there are 49 of them that we've been able to specifically identify, and they're all weapons, and they're all freaking in the injections, man. So what
all
are you talking about?
All in the vaccines, you mean?
Say it again.
They're all in the vaccines?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is what they knew in, because I did a transcription of Cruikshank, 1889. But he was doing a retrospective of the 1790s. In the 1790s, they called this the ingrafting of bestial disease. What do you mean you're going to take pus from the genitals of a cow and stick it into my baby? And what are we looking at right now? We're looking at enteroviruses. That's guts. That's monkey butt. Enteroviruses. We're looking at adenoviruses. Those are respiratory and gastrointestinal viruses. We're looking at the SV series, many of which are herpes. So SV40s, herpes virus. The herpes virus 8 that has been implicated in Kaposi's sarcoma. Herpes virus. So these things, Clint, It's a full-scale attack. They not only cause cancer, they demyelinate nerves. They destroy cells. We're probably getting close to break. I want to read you some quotes that will blow your mind.
Well, that brings in autism. That brings in...
everything.
But that brings in multiple sclerosis.
Everything.
Right? Demyelination.
What we're looking at is... It's a biological weapon. So it's think about this like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. When the two women were fighting, and they're in the room, and the older martial arts master has choice of all the weapons against the sword. And she's picking up this and she's picking up that, and she grabs the halberd, and it's so big and heavy, you know, it just drops to the floor because she's tired. They have their choice of 49 weapons. It just so happens that SV40 is like the Green Destiny. That's the sword that they really like to use.
Well, like I said, I was shocked to see how they sell it and use it all over the. I mean, it's just. It's like more prevalent than than Coke. It's just everywhere. I mean, you just type in SV40, you know, to purchase, and it's like you can buy everything very simply. Every disease you want, it's like right there.
I missed your very opening, Clint. Did you talk about the money back guarantee?
No.
Because there are companies that. Do nothing but manufacture viruses for quote unquote research. And
yeah,
they actually have
nuts.
A money back guarantee that says this will do exactly what we say it's going to do or we will refund you.
And what exactly do they say it's going to do? It's going to just purely make cancer, you know, rampant in your rats. If it doesn't, we'll give you your money back.
Yep.
And yet here they are saying it's well, it's very probable that it didn't cause all the cancer. You know, we put our own scientists on it in the military to test it, despite the 40 independent tests that have been published in all the journals. We put our own guys on it, and they said no, not so much.
And the surprising thing is that works because the population at large have the emotional integration of a child, and a child always wants to be reassured when it's confronted with something scary. And if they say, oh, don't worry about it, everything's going to be all right, then the hypnotized go back to sleep.
Yeah, well, okay, let me read this. August 1976. Conditional Lethal Mutants. So 1976, volume 19 of, I don't know what magazine this came from. Conditional Lethal Mutants of Adenovirus Type 2 Simian Virus 40 Hybrids. Host range mutants that synthesize fragments of the AD2 plus ND1 30K protein. Now, the protein's creation is what's is the cancer creation, basically. Abstract. Adenovirus type 2, listen to this, folks. Adenovirus type 2, AD2, grows 1,000 times less well in monkey cells than in human cells. Oh, so you're saying that the simian virus grows 1,000 times more efficiently in human cells than in monkey cells? This defect can be overcome not only upon co-infection of cells with simian virus 40, so purposeful infection, but also when the relevant part of the SV40 genome is integrated into the adenovirus genome to form an adenovirus SV40 hybrid virus. Oh, isn't that what? Thank you for grafting those two wonderful things. Right. We've used the non-defective AD2 SV40 hybrid virus, AD2 plus ND1, which contains an insertion of 17% of the SV40 genome to isolate host range mutants, which are defective in growth on monkey cells, although they grow normally on human cells. Oh, that's so great. These mutants are defective in the synthesis of late proteins in monkey cells, a 30,000 molecular weight protein, et cetera, et cetera. This is
crazy. Can I break it down for you in layman's terms?
And that's a money-back guarantee, folks.
Can I just get to the ghost story here, the spooky part?
Sure.
SV40 would probably only be acquired if you were exposed to monkey blood by slaughtering something you were going to eat, or if it was shot into you from a polio vaccine. That's probably, as far as I understand to this point, that's probably the only way you could get SV40. Now, what did these military monsters do? They took adenovirus, which is an upper respiratory disease that comes from monkey butts. It is like a cold. It is as contagious as a cold. And what they did is they took this SV40 biological weapon and they put it in something that you could catch like a freaking common cold. That's the Clint notes.
Yeah, they're just wonderful people. They're continuously looking for ways to get us more monkey-like. And I appreciate that. I really do.
So how close are we to a break? Because I would really like to open this up with the scariest quotes anybody is ever going to hear.
Well, I don't know. We got a funny schedule because the schedule changed a little bit. They're trying to work on it now. But just go ahead. We can start over if we need to.
Okay. So this comes from that Atlantic magazine that you had cited earlier, The Virus and the Vaccine. This is a quote. This afternoon, Carbone is examining an S40 infected cell culture plate under a microscope. He speaks almost fondly of the virus he has studied for most of the past decade. SV40 is, quote, the smallest perfect war machine ever, Carbone murmurs. He's so small, but he's got everything he needs. What
nice.
More do you need? Clint, you and I have been on this war path for quite some time. We should be like the most prominent people on the internet with the information that we're putting out to the world. What more do you need that implicates Salk and Sabin as war criminals that need to be arrested and punished in public for injecting, quote, the smallest perfect war machine ever? Because these people knew what they were doing, even in the 40s and 50s. They knew it.
Well, I'll tell you, when you read about Bernice Eddy and mm-hmm. and the effort she went through when she discovered it, she's like, well, before I give this vaccine, this polio vaccine, to my child, I'm going to test it. So she tests it on monkeys, and they all grow tumors.
Yep.
And she goes and she tries to report it, and they're like, well, you know, that's okay. We're not going to stop production or anything. And then she even commented, and this, of course, she lost her all her funding, and she lost her laboratory because she came out against, well, government, basically. She came out. Remember, Merck was part of the George Merck. They got a lot of the Nazi war chest. Actually, that came probably through Paperclip, if I'm not mistaken. So she you know, she comments later that they came in and said, hey, we've got the early versions, you know, the early doses here of the polio vaccine. Would you like to have your children vaccinated? And she says, absolutely not. She looked at him like he was nuts. All the nurses that were working on it, they say, no, absolutely not. We're not going to vaccinate our kids with this. And it goes out to 90 million kids across America get the polio vaccine. Now we're seeing, you know, they say it could sit in there for, you know, 20 to 50 years before it actually turns into cancer. And it's just, I mean, what a horrific history.
So here, to me, and I featured this in the fourth book that I'm writing right now, called The Prion Agenda. This quote harmonizes all of my previous work up till now. Because I have what I call the three pillars of ill health. Military-grade biofilm overgrowth in the gut. Military-induced lymphostasis, meaning our lymph system is gelled up like jello. It can't move. Our immune system is being held in just complete shutdown mode. And the third one, and this was the most difficult one to try to figure out how to work on, chromosome damage. So I had posited that years ago, that those were the three things that I held to be primarily what was wrong with the human race. And if we could address those three things, then we would be able to achieve health. And then I read this from the Atlantic article. It can also damage chromosomes by adding or deleting whole sections of DNA, or reshuffling the genes. Once the virus is finished with a cell, Joseph Testa says, quote, it looks like somebody set off a bomb inside the cell's nucleus because of all these chromosomes rearrangements, unquote. Carbone says that because SD40 binds to tumor suppressor genes and also causes genetic damage, it is, quote, one of the strongest carcinogens we know of, unquote.
Take it in, folks. Take it in, and be sure to get your vaccines. We'll be back. What you waiting for? We've already stripped you of your liberty, privacy, civil rights, and dignity. You want some more?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. Water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend. Water never goes stale, so you gotta just keep on flowing, keep on flowing, so you gotta just keep on flowing, just keep on flowing under the sky.
Lots of different research things that we've been sending back and forth. Here's one on SV40 and insulin. Interesting to, you know, we've covered so many things, Patrick, on what they had to get rid of in our bodies and in our diets.
Yep.
To allow the diseases that we have to grow. We've talked about cholesterol. We've talked about the quote-unquote bad cholesterol. We've talked about hemp, marijuana, the old kind. You know, we've talked about so many different things that when you look back and you say, okay, I see that was outlawed there. Look, they got rid of the cholesterol-bearing foods here. They got rid of this here. They started injecting us with that here. You know, you start to... You really start to kind of comprehend that most of these very strange trends Codex Alimentarius and all these things where they're just out, they're banning foods. I heard in India they're trying to ban curry, if you can imagine that, curry powder. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, why are they recreating food? Why are they genetically engineering things? Well, hey, guess what, folks? It's because interferon was another one. That's get rid of interferon so they could infect the rabbits with their disease, because the interferon would interfere with the disease process. So they have to get rid of the natural aspects of the body. The sod was another one, the mutase. So many things that we've covered, Patrick, either on or off air, that they've gotten rid of in our bodies so that disease will flourish. And it's so obvious. I mean, it's right there in all their research studies. They're very open to really showing that that's what's actually happening, although they don't just come out and say, yeah, we're pretty much screwing people militarily. Although you can look at the, you know, you can look at the biological weapons program. I still don't understand why people aren't up in arms. Folks, there's a biological weapons program right in U.S. code that's, just look it up, biological weapons program, that says they can test anything on you, any way, shape, or form, for any purpose. That includes radiation at the airports, that includes your vaccines, that includes all this crap they're spraying in the air. There's plenty of absolutely documented, admitted cases. It was a big story there for a while. How they were, you know, where they came out with the history of how many times they've actually tested biological weapons on the American people, because we're not people, of course. You know, I just don't understand. How can people sit here knowing that there is a, literally, their own government can test biological weapons of any kind, and they're just okay with it? I mean, I'm in hell.
I can explain it all, and Clint, I'm taking notes because you opened up so many topics. They're all related. I can harmonize all this, and it takes 2,000 pages to do it. But to try to soundbite it for your show, I think we can get close. Let's just take a look at what you said, curry. Now, the main ingredient of Indian curry is turmeric.
Uh-huh, that's another one, turmeric. They want to get rid of turmeric so bad?
Ginger, turmeric, and neem. This is a Natural News post, and I can't remember what year it was. Declared hazardous in Thailand after chemical companies try to protect pesticide profits. Because neem is actually used in organic culture as a pesticide. And so what they're trying to do is use any means possible. That's how desperate these monsters are. Any means possible to get rid of things like turmeric and ginger and neem. So you have to ask why. Well, on the face of it, if it's a pesticide corporation, that makes sense, not from the profit end, because you and I, and honest to goodness, you know, even among my list members, they still defer to, oh, well, they're just doing this for filthy profit. There is no money. It's never been about profit and money. That's just a game token. They're in it to harm and kill. Period.
Well,
they eat suffering. That's why these people do this.
Well,
so
it's,
the pesticide thing. Hold on 1 second. Oh, Clint, hold on. I just, so I don't lose the thought. The pesticide thing from the 1970s, the virus cancer program. That's what is the molecular switch to turn on some of their viruses. You can't do organic gardening or you'll never be able to turn on the viruses that they put in us. Go ahead.
Well, so this goes back to the concept of epigenome and the switches, you know.
Oh my God, you're right there.
We talked about that a lot. I mean, we're talking about this notion of the, you know, we've always talked about what we call, you know, we have the junk part of the brain we don't use. We
right.
have the junk DNA.
Right.
We have all this junk, apparently,
right.
in our bodies, which only recently has been coming out and being acknowledged as, oh, yeah, not junk after all. In fact, we've been experimenting with it for years. We know everything about it. They actually have a lot to do with this and cancer and this and how to... what's going on with, you know, what about the DNA... The part of our DNA that they say is just sort of sitting there doing nothing.
See, this is so perfect, man. You got it the first time through, and I hope the listeners can keep up with us, because what you just said, this is key here. What is it that turmeric does? It is a histone inhibitor. Okay, so what this means, if you got histones and methyl groups on a gene, they are kind of like locks to make sure that the genes aren't activated. So if you deacylate, meaning you open the lock on the histone, then that gene can express. But turmeric keeps that from happening. It keeps the gene from being turned on. Now, what we have to examine here, and I don't have her full name. Her name is Abby, and she does a blog called ERV. And in her tagline, she says, if we are made in God's image, then God is GAGPOLENV. Those are the three major genes that especially retroviruses. And see, you brought us into the topic of endogenous retroviruses. That's what ERV means. The three major genes of those viruses are 80% of our genome. Does anybody understand what that means? Clint, you and I have been raving about the archons, and they might be viruses, and they might have taken over humanity. It's in 80% of the human genome. Viral, retrovirus genes make up 80% of what is called a human being. The takeover is damn near complete.
Well, explain what you mean when you say, what does it mean, retrovirus? And especially, what does it mean that genes can be retroviral?
Okay, so some viruses come in as a particle, and they attach to the cell. And that's where, you know, let's tie up things as we go. That's where that article on insulin came into play, because the humans that are being used as thumb puppets by these viruses to serve the virus said, gee, wouldn't it be great if we used insulin as a weapon against the human being to actually help it get the virus into the cell? So a virus typically, like, attaches to the outside of a cell and somehow works its way in so that it can use the machinery to make copies of itself.
So a good example would be, just for people to understand, there's an enemy tank. I go in, drop a grenade, explode the enemies, and I then go take over the tank and start using the tank for ill will against their own people.
That is, I'm writing a note, tank analogy. That is freaking awesome. That's one way. The other way is a retrovirus, which still has to attach to the cell, work its way in, and once it gets in, this is the retro part, RNA gets into the cellular machinery to make a DNA copy of itself, and that DNA copy is inserted into the host genome. So when all is said and done, the virus doesn't go in intact and come out like a whole bunch of little babies. What it does is it actually becomes part of the host. It's now part of your DNA. And then you're waiting for some kind of trigger, like what they call stress. Stress is a stupid word. It's just hormone provocation. So adrenaline. Adrenaline might start it off. Lowered immunity might start it off. And then these genes that are in your DNA, they are viral genes. They are retrovirus. So they went from RNA, made a DNA copy, inserted it into your DNA. It's now part of you. That's the retro part. It went from RNA to DNA. It's now part of you. Endogenous means inside the thing. Exogenous means outside the thing. So endogenous retrovirus, ERV, means it is now part of you. 80% of the human race. And all it takes is some trigger, pesticides, adrenaline, lowered immunity, and all of a sudden it goes, hey, time to wake up and make copies of myself. And then you're going to have to provide a new analogy of that.
Well,
then it starts
it's
to replicate.
Just, see, all it reminds me of, I mean, my favorite analogy is Tron. Because the body works very much like a computer. When you're talking about computer viruses, you know, you got these little, it's just a communication. It's transcription is what it's actually called. The process of RNA and making copies, proteins, all these things that float around. Even the immune system, when it makes its call to the immune system, you know, your cells make a protein call. They send out, peptides or whatever, and they go and they intermingle with, they attach and they transcript the information and then say, oh, my cell's in trouble. I'm being attacked by, whatever virus. And the immune system responds from the bone marrow and sends out, your killer B cells or B cells, T cells, all of that. And, it's just communication, just like a computer. If you think of what does a computer virus do? What does Microsoft do when you turn on your Microsoft computer and you've agreed to the end user agreement, just like you've agreed to be a citizen of that military apparatus we call the United States? Well, the end user agreement as a citizen of the United States means that you can be tested on under the biological weapons program. That means they can do anything the damn well please to your body. Well, same with Microsoft. They can come into your computer through the internet and they send little messages and they turn things on and off. I had a friend that used to try to get his, try to get Microsoft off his back. He'd go into his registry, which is sort of like your DNA of your computer, tells your computer what's on and what's off, right? I want this program to start and this program to start, and I never want to do this, I never want to do that. It goes in, and they would come in. Every time he'd turn off his computer and hook up to the internet, they'd see that he had done something to his registry. So, oh, Microsoft, no, we're going to turn everything back on and off. So, whatever he did, the second that he would turn his computer on, back on and off, like for us, it's go to sleep, or every time we get a vaccine, the little things come, little programs, little viral programs come in and just start turning things in your registry, in your DNA, in your genome back on and off. I mean, it's really that simple. All we are giant communication machines. That's what the genome is, and the epigenome is simply like a remote control on your garage where you have four little switches, and depending on how you have those four little switches, it's either going to trigger your garage door to open or the signal's not going to be there because the transcription, the communication is not there. It's that simple. And if you think about that simplicity when it comes to these bastards who are doing this kind of infection of us all, and figuring out the Epigenome Project. The Genome Project is old. Forget the Genome Project. They've already done it. The Epigenome Project, which is the millions and millions and millions of variations of being able to make the genome do what you want it, Microsoft being able to make your computer do what it wants because it can switch things on and off, that is the new science, quote-unquote, of the genetics, you know, genomic science. That is where it's at, and it's very, very frightening when you consider that it's militarily funded.
It's puppeteering. Wow, I'm getting this great imagery, Clint. It's fantastic way that you described this. The internet is a vaccine. If you don't hook up to the internet, you don't get infected.
Exactly. You don't get that shot of that sting from the World Wide Web where the spider lives.
Oh, wow.
God, it's so obvious that your computer's not going to get a virus unless Microsoft or the antivirus. I mean, I was looking at antivirus companies, and I was looking, how many of these guys actually get caught for making the viruses they protect against? Turns out quite a few of them. They're selling you antivirus software, scaring you that you're going to get a virus, and they're the ones giving you the virus so that you buy their software. Quite
a few. You know what we noticed? They would download in megabytes about the amount of data to protect your computer that you had acquired during the day surfing the internet. And, you know, for somebody like like me that does nothing but collect data to destroy the AI. It was almost as if the AI was downloading and copying everything that I had acquired during the day and said, okay, thanks, you know, I'm pretending to protect you now.
Yeah. Well, there again, you know, get a vaccine so that you don't get diseased.
That's it,
oh,
man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, because how else, you know, how else am I going to get every freaking animal blood, tissue, and DNA into my body, including humans, which I'm not compatible with because of blood type? How am I going to get that into my body unless I inject it?
Right.
How? How right. is this going to, how are we going to get infected, folks? How are we going to get a viral infection just like a computer unless we interact with that damn medical internet? Patrick.
I can answer that.
Living crazy, crazy, crazy times, man. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
Living in the street.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again.
It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com. Microplantpowder.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art.
All right, folks, welcome back. Oh, Patrick. We have some good times on this show, don't we? I think that people would certainly need their antidepressants. Now, we talked about, what did you say, 43 different SV particles or agents?
Combined all together, there's about 49 of them.
Right, but they all have, as you say, their Babylonian name changes. At one time, they all were called different SVs or SAs, you mean agent, but they all had name changes, and now we call, I mean, so how do we possibly keep track of these things and know what, you know, where they're, what they are today, for instance?
Okay, so in my book, I've got an outline of what they were, what they were changed to be, and when the smoke clears, you know, who the players are left. And the public likes to focus on SV40 because, you know, in the first hour, we really outlined in no uncertain terms that SV40 is their preferred monster of choice because it is the most powerful, devastating weapon in their arsenal. It is the Green Destiny Sword that can defeat nearly everything that was in that martial arts training room. That being said, we still have 49 agents that need to be identified and dealt with, because if you've ever heard like the term respiratory syncytial virus, it affects newborns across the United States in like the tens of millions. It's a freaking simian agent. Or SV, it's an SV, so it's not an SA, it's an SV, but just renamed, just like they did during the polio thing. They just renamed it, and what they're doing is they're covering up that this Salk and Sabin Holocaust is still going on, and here's why. This is why the listeners need to get, like, you know, at least some, 180-proof alcohol, some sleeping pills and you know, whatever else they can lay their hands on. And of course, I'm just kidding. SV40 is just part of the picture. But if we just focus on SV40, what they had found was that because it is an endogenous retrovirus, means it gets into the cell and makes a copy of itself, and that copy gets inserted into the host gene. It is now part of you. If that part of you expresses itself and copies then get made in your germ cells, eggs and sperm, then it becomes communicable, transmissible. If it particularizes and gets the viral particles into your fluids, it becomes transmissible through fluid contact. And they have found generationally that kids that never got the polio virus still show SV40 and other simian agents, because these things have now become so much a part of us that they're being passed on.
You know, and it's just more of that sort of innocence that was back in the 40s and 50s, if you want to call it that, that just pure blank trust for government that is rearing its ugly head in so many different ways today, and of course that's passed on. Rah, 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 U.S. government. All right, we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
With financial uncertainty.